ஸ்ரீகுருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். கணானாந்த்வா கணபதிம் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவீனாமுபமஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஸ்ருண்மன்மூதிபிஃ சீத சாதனம் ஸ்ரீமஹாகணாதிபதயே நம. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதீம் வியாசம் ததோ ஜெய முதீரயேத். ஆத்மஸ்வரூப பந்துகண. சோ லெட் அஸ் ஸ்டார்ட் வித் த 59th வெர்ஸ். யூ மே சே வித் மீ. விஷயா விநிவர்த்தந்தே நிராஹாரஸ்ய தேஹினஹ ரசவர்ஜம் ரசோப்யஸ்ய பரம் த்ருஷ்ட்வா நிவர்த்ததே. திஸ் இஸ் எ வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் வெர்ஸ், குவைட் ஆஃபன் கோட்டட் இன் வேரியஸ் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட்ஸ். யூ சி, வி ஹவ் டாக்ட் அபவுட் பிரத்யாஹார withdrawal, sarvashaha, a total withdrawal from the sense pleasures, sense pursuits, because this small self has its fort in debased sensual pleasures. That is its strength. As long as you pursue the sense pleasures, that is a very destructive activity. And the person can never gain the higher dimension of his own personality. That is not possible. Therefore, he is advised to withdraw the pratyahara. Especially in yoga, as I could see in yoga darshanam, there is a lot of emphasis on vairagyam and pratyahara, withdrawal from the sense pleasures. You see, suppose you say yoga for health, so you get physical health. What you are going to do with that health? You know, one Mahatma said, these water buffaloes, you know, they are very healthy. They seldom fall sick. So health, physical health as a goal is not considered anything meaningful at all. What you are going to do physically healthy? Suppose many of the wrestlers, WWF, etc. So, they are very strong. So what? So, society, family or society is not going to benefit from a person who is strong physically. Physical strength could be destructive also if there is no proper knowledge to go with it. It's like a Ravana. Ravana is the famous character of Indian epic Ramayanam. He is a very strong guy and he is a villain. Because when the person has a strength, whether it is physical strength or riches, and there is no wisdom to go along with it, he is very dangerous to the society. Anyway, so yoga for health means you get good health, and that good health is utilized for a higher goal. And that is yoga for moksha. That is the correct way of looking at it. Therefore, In that perspective, vairagyam, the dispassion or non-attachment, and pratyahara, withdrawal from the sense pursuits, becomes very important. And that's why in yoga darshanam, yoga shastra, these are very much highlighted. So when a seeker approaches this issue, initially he has a lot of commitment for the worldliness. People are very much worldly. They are given to worldly things. So, sense pleasures is one thing, and then power, authority, riches, ego building up. So, all these things are there in everybody's life. And so they are very attractive. And the world is a very glittering world. And so, it is very difficult to come out of their attraction. This is a problem. But at the same time, because yoga puts so much emphasis on withdrawal and all that, So this person has got that commitment, he develops that interest in yoga, and so forcibly he keeps himself away from the sense pleasures. That kind of a seeker is always there for us. We can come across such seekers all the time. So they apply so much pressure on their vasanas. They hold on to those vasanas. They are there in the mind, but they are held under pressure like a soda bottle. And so now he is like a korma, not indulging in anything, like korma, he is withdrawn. But that kind of a withdrawal, it doesn't solve the problem entirely. It's good, withdrawal is good. To the extent you withdraw from the sense pleasures, to that extent the vasanas, the predilections of the mind are neutralized. That is good. That is how one has to make progress. It is like a child going to the school. A child doesn't like to go to the school. It likes to go to playground. But yet, we put some discipline into the child's life. And the child has a value for parents. And so based on parents, just to satisfy the parents, the child starts going to the school. And in the process, it grows. And it grows to a certain level where it goes to school by its own volition. Similarly, mind is like a child. Lalayet chitta balakam. That is the statement. You have to handle the mind like a child. And we are in a way children in the field of spirituality. And therefore, if a discipline is brought into life, even with a little pressure, whether the pressure could be a religious pressure or a cultural pressure, whatever it is, even if by pressure, by force means a self-applied force. So some discipline comes into life, it is good. Discipline is always good. And the person is likely to grow, likely to mature further. But if that maturity doesn't happen, there is a problem. That is what is being pointed out. Because the korma example, the tortoise example, should not be misconstrued. So I have withdrawn. Now what? It should not be like that. That is one way of... I am trying to introduce this verse, Vishaya Vinivartante. That way you can introduce that verse. That is the relevance of that verse. Or Shankara looks at it in a different way. He gives a very interesting example. Suppose a person is hospitalized. In the hospital, there is a strict regimen of conducting oneself as well as food. You cannot roam around the way you like. If the doctor says you take rest, you have to take rest in the hospital. Whereas at home, you may do anything. And the food is also, the dietitian will fix the food and you have to eat that food. No food is allowed to be brought in. So this hospitalized person is like a korma. He has withdrawn from all sense pleasures. So is he a liberated soul? Does he become a liberated soul? No. The moment he comes out of hospital, he is back in his old ways. Therefore, so our pratyahara, the pratyahara that is talked about in the earlier verse, should not be like the pratyahara of a hospitalized person. That is what he is saying. There is that danger. Your pratyahara should not be of that kind. Take care. That is the relevance of this verse. So he says, nirāhārasya dehinaha viṣayāha vinivartante. You see, we keep fast on Ekadashi day. Ekadashi is the 11th day of the lunar month. And we keep fast because it's a vow. So, with a lot of grit and determination, we keep ourselves away from the food on that day. But the entire day is spent in planning for the next day's breaking of the fast. It should not happen like that. So, that should not happen like that. So, the basic purpose, still fasting is good. Still it is good. That is what John Hopkins University says in a recent research publication. It says it is good. So, but still, the fasting, so the purpose of the fasting is not that. So, this craving for food is there in us, and we should transcend it. Spontaneously, we should be able to keep away from food for some time. That is that kind of An inner strength has to develop from the spiritual discipline of fasting. That is the purpose. So nirāhārasya dehinaha. Dehi is the human being. Nirāhāra. Āhāra is food. That is the specific meaning. But here we are talking of all the five sense organs, you know. So this verse is a very interesting verse. Some acharyas means various commentators, they have explained this verse in their own way. So ahara is food, that is straightforward Lifko dictionary meaning. A small dictionary meaning is ahara is food. Therefore niraharasya, if you keep away from food, once you keep fast, then automatically all other sense organs are also withdrawn. Because a fasting person cannot go and enjoy a movie in a theater, or he cannot go and do certain other things which he would have done normally. Therefore, keeping fast somehow helps in the withdrawal, in the process of withdrawal, it helps. But the innate vasana, what we call rasa. Rasa is word is used here. Rasa vajjam. Rasopyasya param drishtvana nivartate. That rasa. Rasa can be translated as a relish. A taste or a relish. So you may keep away from that particular pleasure for the present because you are under a vow, but you still have a lot of relish for that thing. Whether it is a dish or whether it is any sense pleasure. That relish will be there in the mind. Rasa, that won't go. You have withdrawn from the actual enjoyment of the sense pleasure, but the innate relish which you have, the vasana which you have, which was responsible for the indulgence in the first place, that vasana continues to be there. It won't disappear. You cannot eliminate it by just a simple withdrawal, rasa varjam. So, nirāhārasya dehinaha viṣayāha vinivartante rasa varjam. So, for a person keeping fast as a religious duty, food is kept away, or food stays away from him, but not the craving for food. That continues to be there. That's why he will be waiting for Dvadashi morning. Next day morning he will be waiting and he will be planning. I have seen it. They plan on Ekadashi evening or afternoon. They sit around and start planning. What is tomorrow's early lunch? They take a lunch very early because the whole day is kept fast. So early lunch. And so the lunch is meticulously planned. Because that planning for the lunch shows that the craving for food is intact. That is how it happens. This is a problem inherent in pratyahara. Therefore, it is not a big deal to keep away from pleasures for a while. But it is a real big thing if you can overcome that innate tendency itself. Then you have won the battle. See, it is like this. Suppose a dish is sitting before me. Now it is a food item. It is sitting before me. It's a battle. This kind of battle is there before us all the time. Every day it is there. For a person who is dieting, who is acutely conscious of his weight, his or her weight, this is a battle. It's an ongoing battle. And most of the time, people lose this battle. Because that bread basket, they call it. Bread basket is taken around. And it is coming near me. It is there, I have already noticed. I am discussing something with the other fellow, other person, but still I have noticed the bread basket coming my way. Already 1,000 calories or 1,500 calories have gone in. And I should not dip into the bread basket anymore. I should not, I know it. I will not, I am not interested in it. I will not dip into it. No way. Then it came a little nearer, next table it came. No, I will not, I don't need it. Then it came to my table. Then the person sitting opposite me dipped into it and picked up one piece. In the process I noticed that the bread is a very superior quality bread. I They have all kinds of names to it. Baking pleasure, it is. My goodness, it is so, enticing. And so, okay, let me have a piece. So I take it. So I lost the battle. Battle is not won. Assuming that I kept away, still the battle is not won. Because I will fall for it in the second round. So I have not won the battle. So we always somehow mistake that the battle is outside, the enemy is outside, the problem is outside. This is our mistake. The battle is not outside. So it is not the breadbasket which is sitting before you is the adversary. You are your adversary. You have to win a battle against yourself. At the end of the day, you have to win a battle against yourself. That rasa, that relish, that taste is lingering. Why lingering? It is strong in your mind. That did not go away. By this tortoise example, tortoise experiment or practice, what a tortoise does you have done. But that did not eliminate, that kept the pleasures at a distance for a while, but did not eliminate the rasa, rasa varjam. Rasa remained inside. That's why it becomes a back and forth thing. That is what I mean. Yoga is a back and forth, means it's like going up a mountain. So go some way and then you come back frustrated. Again go, again make a second attempt, go up some way and then come back frustrated. This is the back and forth thing. So that way it will happen unless you take care of that rasa, that inner vasana, relish. You have to take care of that. How to take care of the rasa? How? So Shankara says this rasa is a very subtle thing, sukshmaha. At the grass level, handling is easy. So if it is only a matter of keeping an item away from myself or keeping myself away from a particular pleasure for a while, you can manage it with grit and determination. It is like dhyanam. So I will do dhyanam, and you can take such a decision and you can come and sit for dhyanam. Up to that you can do. Beyond that it is not in your hands. You can sit for meditation by will, but you cannot do meditation by will. It is not the result of willpower. In fact, unless the will drops off, you will not go into meditation at all. Therefore, the willpower can work up to a point. Beyond that, it is the understanding that has to take over. That knowledge has to come into the picture. Here we have the word drishtva, param drishtva nivartate. Drishtva means seeing it. You have to see it. Seeing is knowing. That is what seeing is. So once you know your true nature, param drishtva, param is paramatma. Dear sir, you have taken yourself to be all wrong. You have made a calamitous mistake about yourself. You have an image of yourself, and you think yourself to be that image. So you have all wrong notions about your true nature. You have not understood what you are. So a human being identifies himself with the physical body, and on that basis he lives a life. So as long as this body-mind-sense complex, which is very limited in various ways, is taken to be oneself, this relish, rasa, you will not be able to overcome it. It will be there. That's why there is so much frustration in life. We want to grow spiritually. We make an effort. In our childhood, we were given a puzzle, a mathematical puzzle. This I often remember. There was a frog sitting in a well. Now it wants to come out of that well. So it makes a progress of two, so it has to travel a distance of 3 feet. That is 30 inches, let us say. 30 inches it has to move up. Now, in one jump, it can progress 3 inches. But every time it jumps, it falls back by 4 inches. Now, in how much time or in how many jumps it can reach the top of the well? This is the question. And we used to furiously calculate. What is there to calculate in it? There is nothing to calculate. It won't reach the top. It will remain where it is. So our spiritual pursuit should not be like that. So that's why we fail to progress, because we are on the wrong premise about ourselves. Therefore, you furiously do all kinds of yogic efforts and yet fail to know what is your true nature, then every discipline has a value. You cannot say a discipline is useless. That I do not agree with it. Every discipline has a value. But we are not talking of some value or some benefit. We are talking of the ultimate. So, if you want to really come out of the stranglehold of worldliness, then a simple pratyahara, a simple will-based withdrawal will not suffice. You need to know your true nature. Rasavarjam. Because a simple discipline of pratyahara, which is the limb of yoga, so that helps to keep the sense pressures away, but it cannot eliminate rasa, rasavarjam. Rasa can be eliminated only by knowledge, understanding. Rasam rasopi nivartate. It is possible to get out of, to win against the rasa also, that innate tendency also, you can win against it. It is possible. It nivartate, it also will disappear. But parandrushtva, effort is not enough. The striving is not enough. The striving should be supported by understanding. Simultaneously. It's not that first for some time I strive and then I will take up understanding. That is not the idea. Everything is simultaneous. So, that parandrushtva nivartate, you have to know your true nature. So, the human being's true nature, his essential content, is called param. That is the word. Param Atmanam or Param Brahma. You happen to be not definitely what you take yourself to be. So one has to gain an understanding of his true self. That is the Parandrushtva. You see, this small little self is there. This me, small, this me. We call it me, mine. So this small self, it is always in search for power, position, authority, and sense pleasures. These are all there. So all these desires are so many expressions of the small self. So as long as the small self is strong, that relish for sense pleasures is not going to disappear. And that will continue to be there. And it will frustrate our efforts also. All that is going to come in the next verse also. The same topic is being pursued by Bhagavan further. So, our efforts are going to be frustrated if we do not address this small self. If only we address in a superficial way, at the grass level, so I should not overeat, therefore I keep food away, or I keep myself away from food. This kind of a grass level effort will be defeated at the end, will be frustrated even while it is going on. If this small self is not understood as false, if it is not addressed for what it is worth. You know, we say in Vedanta that this small self, we call jiva. This jiva is a phantom, it is not real. So if it is real, then you are stuck, you can't do anything about it. So you are going to be a limited being, and therefore bandha, bondage is permanent. But fortunately, the small self is not real. It's a phantom, it's a superimposition. This small self, it is, so I am trying to explain paramdrushtva. So, the small self is always psychologically dependent. You think about it. People tell me, when I try to understand this thing about dieting, this dieting, it has attracted my attention. I pay a lot of attention to that. And you cannot avoid it also. If only you look around at some of these journals and newspapers, the dieting comes into focus, because the overweight and obesity happens to be the public health issue of United States of America. If in India the dieting thing is not the issue, whereas if you come here, everywhere you can see the dieting is an issue there. Weightwatchers.com, etc. So many things are there. And you enter into the website, this eDiets.com. So many of these, because dieting is a major issue. And many universities are engaged in various research efforts, because it is a public health issue. It seems that 65% of the United States and North American population is overweight. What a figure it is. 65% is overweight means, as a nation, they are overeating. That is the idea. So it's an issue. And therefore, they tell me, this dieting, it fails because the person is psychologically dependent upon food. That is a psychological dependence. He eats more food because he is psychologically disturbed about it. So the more a person is disturbed mentally, the more food he eats. This is what they say. Very interesting. So when we are overeating, it is not a physical reaction or a physical thing. It is a psychological thing. So psychologically, not only eating, here the word ahara is used. Ahara is food, I said. But Shankara, that is how some of the acharyas mentioned, Ramanujacharya, he has explained this word ahara as food. He restricted his analysis to food alone. Even Jnaneshwari, that I restricted the analysis of this verse to food alone. Ahara is food, rasa is taste for food. Like that he explained. But Shankara, he has widened the scope of this verse. Ahriyante ityaharaha. Whatever you take in is ahara. It's like, you see, we are dependent for seeing, say, TV. TV is there. TV, the TV, it develops a psychological dependence. That's why people who sit before TV, they call it idiot box. Why they should call it idiot box? It is a marvel of a scientific advancement. Why anybody should call it idiot box? The word idiot box is, that phrase is given to TV by psychologists. Because they say, after viewing the TV for a number of hours, day after day, the person develops a psychological dependence for that. So couch potato TV and all that. The psychological dependence will come. So the laziness will overtake. So this tamoguna, laziness, it has many of its expressions. You want to lie down comfortably. Some of the sofas, in India sofas are not so comfortable, I tell you. They are a bit hard. They are made of coir and all that. Whereas in this country, if you sit in a sofa, somebody has to lift you up from there. You cannot get up yourself, because it won't give you any, it yields and yields and yields. It won't give you any hold. To get up, you need to push something behind. You cannot push anything, because it is just yielding. So you fall into such a sofa, and then so go on consuming some food and view TV. Hours will pass by. That is how tamoguna expresses, and so a psychological dependence will develop for the eyesight, because the scenes that you see, they are the food for the eyes. Ahriyante, they are taken in. You take in program after program. You go on taking it in. That is the food for the eyesight. Then the music. They have a kind of a contraption. They keep it around the head, and he will be rocking also a little, and he will be going his way. He is in his own world. This music is madness. It should not turn into madness. Music has its own value. It should help us to relax. It should be soothing and relaxing to the mind. That's why it is called a laya. Whereas, if you keep some exciting music, like very rhythmic and exciting music, and you are always bombarded by that music this way, by keeping it here all the time, CD players and all that, very compact ones, they are coming. And so the person is continuously listening to music. Daily 4-5 hours he listens to music. He doesn't know it. He is psychologically dependent upon music. People become psychologically dependent upon food, upon music, upon perfumes. This is I am telling of all sense organs. In every airport I see perfume shops. Absolutely meaningless and useless. We don't need any of the perfumes. The entire perfume industry, if it is dropped, except some people will lose their employment. This employment is a problem. Because you do anything, some people will lose some jobs. If there are rains, some people will lose their jobs. If there are no rains, some people will lose their jobs. How we can solve that issue? So you cannot connect anything to employment. That way you cannot solve anything in this world. So we don't need any of the perfumes. We don't just need it. Then if you stop using all perfumes, then the sense organ, which has become insensitive because of the bombardment of all these strong perfumes, so that becomes very sensitive, and then you can enjoy the nature's perfumes. The grass, if you cut grass, there is a wonderful perfume in it while cutting the grass. And then if rain falls, the earth, it throws up a wonderful perfume. And a lake at a distance, you can sense by nose, oh my goodness, there is a lake around. That means a simple humidity or some extra humidity together with a few trees has a scent of its own. We became insensitive to all these things. Unless some perfume is poured over the person, he cannot enjoy anything. So this is ahara for the nose. We just don't need it. Then the skin. Less said about it, better. Because if I start telling all these things, it doesn't look nice. So I read somewhere, when I say I read somewhere, I don't mean in some tabloid. I read in some scientific journal somewhere that 50% of the skin lotions and ointments that are used in the so-called advanced countries, they are harmful to the skin. And if they are stopped, the skin cancer incidence will come down. What more we want to say about it? This is what the scientists say. But scientists' voice is not heard. The companies, they employ scientists, but they don't bring out their knowledge into the world. They distort and twist the science to suit their marketing needs. That is how it is. Most of the medicines they are marketed, how many things are there? Hormone replacement therapy was wrong in the first place. Like that, there are too many things, I tell you. This technology, it has a very vicious face. And so, we take in all kinds of things. Everything, every sense organ has its own food. And so, all are ahara. So, this small self, it flourishes, it becomes strengthened as long as you pursue these sense pleasures, because the small self is psychologically dependent. So, we are psychologically dependent on food. Food and hunger, that equation has gone into the background. The psychological dependence has come into the picture. So we depend on all these sense pleasures psychologically. Then we depend upon power. We need power. That is a dependence. And we need authority. Some people need power. Without power, they are like fish out of water. The opposition party people, they are like fish out of water. They are desperate without power. They have to be in power. In India we have a proverb, the person has to die as a minister so that government can take care of the cremation costs. He doesn't want to die as a normal human being. In power he should die. So they won't leave power. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, still continue in power only. They won't leave it. So because psychologically dependent, psychological dependence upon other people is always there. He cannot be happy unless he is in the company of his near and dear, my people, mine. This psychological dependence is the rasa that we are talking about here. Rasa. That you cannot, just by keeping away from sense pleasures, you have not addressed the issue of psychological dependence. And I tell you, psychological dependence is the fourth. It is the strong point of the small self. Why there is psychological dependence in us? Because when I look at myself, I find myself utterly insufficient, inadequate, poor, empty, lonely. That is what I find in myself. So I see only emptiness within me. There is nothing within me. Therefore, for everything, for all joy, all pleasures, all sense of achievement, sense of success, for everything, I depend upon the outside. This is how the small self has become psychologically dependent. Therefore, the small self presents itself in various ways. It runs after various things to fill this emptiness that I so strongly feel within myself. So, this emptiness within me, the notion that I am a limited being, fundamentally, I am empty, I am limited, I am small, fundamentally, as long as that notion, so that sense of being a limited person, limited in every possible way, isolated from the whole, so that this is what we call jiva bhava. I have explained in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So all that is called jiva bhava, the sense of being a limited individual, that jiva bhava. As long as that jiva bhava persists, the psychological dependence persists, because that is what jiva bhava is. And as long as there is a psychological dependence, then it continues to express that inefficiency, that inadequacy, that emptiness, that dependence in various forms. Sometimes we run after perfumes, sometimes we run after movies, sometimes we run after food. So like that, sometimes we run after, if all these things are procured, then we will run after higher things, riches. And then a millionaire, he strives to make a second million. What he is going to do with the second million? The first million, what he has done with it? What he has achieved with the first million? Pretty much, there is not much that he has achieved in the first with the first million. What he is going to achieve with the second million? Just the psychologically he will feel fulfilled with the second million for a while. Then he comes across a person with 5 millions. In a party he meets a person having 5 millions or 50 millions, then he will feel himself this big. So, then he will strive to become, he wants to go into that club. Club means club of higher riches. So, it is a psychological dependence. He is not independent. He is not a free. He is dependent on riches, which is nothing but notion. Riches are nothing but a notion. Suppose I have $1 million, I'm not going to put it in a bag and put on my head or my shoulders and carry it around. It will be sitting in a bank and the banker will be using it elsewhere. I have a piece of paper with me. That is, a million is a notion, abhimana, it is nothing more than that. So, please note, this emptiness within, as long as it is there, the effort to overcome that emptiness will be there. And that effort to overcome the emptiness within, it expresses in various forms of pursuing sense pleasures, riches, power, authority, dominating the other members of the family. All these things are expressions of that emptiness within. They talk of a superiority complex. It is also an expression of the emptiness within. He feels empty within, therefore he puts a face, may appears himself as a superior to others. So, that emptiness within you should address, because it is not real, it is false. Now, just you look at it, suppose I am running after a sense pleasure. What is the meaning of it? I am running away from this emptiness. I am running after power means, without power I am empty. That means I am running away from the innate emptiness, inadequacy. And now I tell you, as long as you run away from your emptiness or inadequacy, you are never going to solve it. It will remain like that forever. We have run away from our innate emptiness for a lifetime, and earlier also millions of lives we have run away, and because we are running away from that emptiness within, we are now where we are. And if you continue to run away from it in pursuing the outside things, it is not going to be solved. It remains an endless run, endless road. Then what to do with it? Look within. Stay within, yoga. Stay within, stop running behind things. Examine this emptiness within you. What is that emptiness? You feel lonely, you examine, therefore run somewhere. Go to a theater or go to a club, and thus all loneliness is gone. You will never go that way. Why I feel lonely? Why I feel inadequate? Why I feel incomplete, small, empty within, poor? Why I feel like that? Stay with that feeling. Look within, search within, stop running after things. Then you will discover that what all mistakes you have done about yourself are false. You will discover it yourself. I give you an example. Suppose I have a desire. This desire is a bondage. This desire is an expression of the emptiness within. That's why we use the word want. English, that want is a very nice word. I want means it, whatever that comes afterwards, it is only an expression of something wanting here, something lacking here. Therefore, there is a desire. The desire, it reinforces the emptiness which I feel within me. Now suppose I leave that desire alone. I reject it and then look within me. That means what? Instead of dealing with the expression of inadequacy, I am now dealing with the inadequacy itself. Then I look within. Why I feel inadequate? What is wrong with me? Shastra is there to help you. There is nothing inadequate about you. There is nothing empty in you. There is nothing lonely in you. You are Purnam. You are everything. All the happiness that you are searching for in the world is really within you. It is not outside of you. It is all an imagination. It is all, you have understood everything wrongly. You think that happiness is in sense pleasures. There is no happiness in sense pleasures. There is only debasement in sense pleasures. Happiness is within you. It is like a sugar crystal running around for sweetness. It is like a person who is neck deep in water, feels thirsty and doesn't know what to do about it. It is like a fish becoming thirsty and struggling, failing to know what to do about it. It is like water feeling thirsty and doesn't know what to do about it. It is like that. To that extent, you are the whole. You are the Purnam. You have calamitously mistaken about yourself. You have not understood your inner nature. It is like a surfer. If you run behind the sense pleasures, it is like a surfer floating on the waves. What a surfer, what he knows about the ocean? He functions with ocean only. Without ocean, there is no surfer. As a surfer, he exists because of the ocean. But what is his understanding of the ocean? In which area the waves are better? That is all he knows. With a surfboard, he goes around all over the place, trying to see where the waves are better. And now, once he sees good waves, he'll be hovering above those waves. What is his knowledge of the ocean? He doesn't know the width of the ocean. He doesn't know the depth of the ocean. As long as we are following the sense pursuits, we are like that surfer. We don't know the depth and the width. Width in the sense, the all-pervasive nature of the Atma. That is the Param. You are not empty. You are full. You are not inadequate. You are Purna. You are not lonely. You are alone because you alone are real. Nothing else is real. In that sense, you are alone. You are not lonely. You are alone. You are in full glory. Like there is only one sun. There is only one space. Like that, there is only one Chaitanya, and that happens to be you. So, when you get a glimpse of this, even a glimpse, leave alone total appreciation, even a glimpse of deeper dimension of your personality, you get it. That is what is called Param Drishtva. I tell you an example. I had a desire. Then I thought about it. Why should I hold on to this desire? It is a bondage. Then I threw it away with viveka. Just I am giving you an example. Viveka with discrimination. I don't need to fulfill that desire. I could see through that desire and reject it. Then that moment when I rejected that desire, that moment I experienced a wonderful freedom. A freedom from a given desire is one has to experience it, then only he will know it. If that is the type of vision you have by just rejecting one desire, what happens if you abide in your true nature? What happens? Parandrishtva. So even a glimpse of your true nature as not inadequate, not empty, you have to appreciate that fact. You have to aperceive it. Aperceive, not perceiving, aperceiving. You have to intuitively recognize that truth. That you can do only by putting halt to all running behind the sense pleasures. First stop that and stay with yourself. Stay with the shastram, stay with the teaching, abide in the teaching, stay with yourself, do meditation, and then you will know the glory of your own personality. And once you know what you are, then this rasa, this relish for these things, it just disappears. Parandrashtva nivartate. Once that has disappeared, it doesn't matter whether you eat a little extra food or eat less food, or whether you go to a movie or some other thing, or whether you enjoy a perfume or not, it doesn't matter. You need not keep all these things away, because you grow out of them, because you are not empty anymore, you are not psychologically dependent anymore. So this is, in a nutshell, the meaning of param drishtva nivartate. So you have to build upon it. Just I gave you a general idea, you have to build upon it. But building upon this general idea becomes possible only when you call halt to sense pursuits. First, that korma vritti, the attitude of a tortoise, should come into our life, and then on that basis you can build. That is how it is. Then we will go to the next verse. You may say it with me. Yatato hiyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. Okay. Now, you see, we say like this. To make progress spiritually, in the sense that to gain the self-knowledge, that there is no real progress really. With reference to self-knowledge, there is nothing like a progress. It's not that self-knowledge is going to happen at a given moment. If it happens in time, then it disappears in time also. Already you are full, but you have superimposed an emptiness, an inadequacy upon you. So that wrong understanding of oneself is the impediment to know the truth of oneself. So that wrong understanding of oneself, that ignorance, has to be peeled off layer by layer. So removal of ignorance is only talked of in terms of a progress. There is no other progress. So anyway, when you strive to know Atman, when you strive to gain that status of a sthita prajna, then as it is suggested here, you have to keep sense pleasures away when it is suggested. So that is the starting point really. While engaging oneself in sense pleasures as a limited being, you cannot hope to know the full glory of your own swarupa. Swarupa is one's own essential nature. You cannot know it while indulging in all other things, because it is in the opposite direction. Unless this small self is won over, you cannot know the higher self, if I can use that word. As long as you indulge in sense pleasures, it is the strengthening of the small self only. So while strengthening the small self on one side, you cannot hope to know the self on the other side. It is not possible. They are in the opposite directions. So if you have to reach New York, you cannot drive on 80 West. That is not the way to reach New York. So like that. So if you allow the small self to have its ways, then you cannot hope to gain self-knowledge. Therefore, the advice is withdrawal from the sense pleasures. Then, while withdrawing from the sense pleasures, a kind of caution is sounded here. What is the need for these cautioning words? The withdrawal you have to approach with a lot of enthusiasm and steadfastness, earnestness. Otherwise, you will not succeed in the process of withdrawal. That is one reason to sound a caution. Then it is like they say, a whistleblower or some such thing they say. So this is the whistleblowing kind of verse it is. So, okay, now let me start with withdrawal. It's not that easy. You have to have a lot of enthusiasm and earnestness to succeed in the battle against the small self. You have to win. At the end of the day, you have to win a battle against yourself. It is like that. That's why we say, it's a journey from yourself to yourself. Yourself, the small self, the inadequate self, to the Purna self. That is the journey, from yourself to yourself. That is the journey. That means it is not a real journey. It is a progress. It's a growth only. There is no real journey in it. Because you cannot have a distance between yourself and yourself. So it's not a real journey. It's a progress in terms of maturity. So that's why a caution is sounded. There is a danger of slipping on the way. So, on this journey, non-journey-like journey, anadvaga advasu parayishnavaha, they use that language. It's a journey which is not a journey. Yet there a caution is sounded. What is the caution? You are trying to grow out of this small self, that is your effort. But then the main functioning area, the field of this small self is sense pleasures. That is its area. There it is strong. And therefore, the sense organs can still defeat you. Take care. That is the caution, number one. Number two, there may be a seeker, a sadhaka or a yogi who has acquired a kind of mastery over the sense organs. And then he may feel, yeah, I made it. I am a great yogi. Now I have conquered the sense organs. Don't feel that way. The moment you feel that way, you are giving in to the small self. The small self is exerting in an altogether new disguise. Earlier it was exerting in some other forms, like sense pleasures, power and authority. Now it is exerting, it is presenting itself in an altogether new disguise of yogic achievement. I am a great yogi. As long as you claim yourself to be a great yogi, you are defeating the purpose of yoga itself. Because yoga is merging this small self in the whole, in Ishvara. That is the purpose of yoga. And you say you are a great yogi means what? The small self has acquired a new power. A new strength, altogether new, altogether different, and more difficult to defeat. A worldly pelf and power can be overcome, but this is called spiritual materialism. It is difficult to overcome this. I am holier than thou attitude will come. I am spiritually an accomplished person. This is a new kind of ego, a spiritual ego it is. Material ego is one kind of ego, this is a difficult ego. Don't fall prey to that ego. Don't lose the battle at that point. So that is another caution that is sounded in this verse. The Kaunteya, so Sri Krishna is addressing Arjuna as Kaunteya, yatato hyapi, you should strive. There is no doubt about it. Striving is the hallmark of a yogi. That's why they call the seeker a yati. A sannyasi is also called yati. Yati means yatana shilaha, that it means shila, means he works hard. The idea is not to break the back or any such thing. That is not the physical hard work that we are talking about. We are talking about the earnestness and steadfastness. That earnestness is the key. You are earnest, you are enthusiastic all the way to know the Atman, to gain the Atma-jnanam, to get realization, no one here. That kind of an earnestness should be there. It is like the earnestness of a hungry person to take food. That kind of an earnestness. A hungry man is earnest. He keeps away everything else and goes for his food. Food is the first item. So, that kind of a very fundamental earnestness is required. Therefore, yatato hyapi. So, the person has all the enthusiasm and earnestness. He is striving to gain self-knowledge by putting the sense pleasures at bay. He is doing that. Why he should do that? Vipaschitaha purushasya. Purushasya is a human being, a person. Vipaschitaha. He has the discrimination. Then only he can do that. Otherwise, a person who doesn't have the discrimination, who is sure that running behind the sense pleasures, the riches, the power, etc. will save me. A person, that means a person given to worldliness totally. Such a person, he will not strive at all for sense withdrawal or any such thing. So the question doesn't arise in such a person. Whereas, here is a viveki, a person of discrimination. He knows that the sense pleasures are very temporal and unreliable, undesirable, and destructive to the personality. He knows all that. So that viveka jnanam, that discriminatory power he has, that's the reason why he became a yeti. Yatato yapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha. Even for such a person, given to discrimination, and given to enthusiasm and earnestness in striving by yoga method, yatato yapi, pursuing yoga, karma yoga, or jnana yoga, whatever. So, or even ashtanga yoga you can apply it. So, he is pursuing. Even for him, the danger of slipping back is lurking in the form of sense organs, indriyani, pramathini, haranti prasabham manaha. Your own innate tendencies of sense pleasures can defeat you. Even at that high level of achievement, they can defeat you. Take care. Never lose guard. Always be on guard. Because the sense organs could prove to be very difficult to win over. Indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. This verse we'll further discuss in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishnarpanamastu.